Greetings, everyone. It's good to be here, and it was a blessing listening to the Bible study. And if I'm one of those eggs, and if I don't listen to instruction, and if I don't believe in truth, I would be like that. So as we prepare and plan to move back to India, and I was just thinking, one of those difficult things in life is the last time and separation. Last time this, last time that, and that thing will never come back, you know. And it's one of the difficult things. And I had a hard time settling my brain in what for message to bring today. And I thought maybe it could be a farewell message. But maybe Lord willing, we'll be back here sometime, and maybe I'd be asked to share again, and we would spend time again together. And I try not to think too much of that way, that we would not see you again. But yeah, we would see. Maybe pictures and videos and messages and stuff like that, and we'll stay connected. I'll try to be connected. And one of the things that I struggle after coming to America was somewhat even now, but not as it used to be, like struggling with not having people. Like growing up in the village, Darrell would know, Brady would know how everybody kind of lives together and you talk with each other. And we fight and so many things involved. Like when you're living in a village, you experience everything. But then at the end of the day, you're again together and you act like nothing had happened. But America is not like that. Sometimes you don't even see your relatives, your family for years, and you may not even talk to your family for months and months, but still your family. And so I had a little difficulty. So I always, like if my phone beeped, I would just see maybe somebody from India or somebody from my family. And I think that's one of my weakness. Even now, if you would, not right now, my phone is silent. But if you would text me, most likely I would see my phone right away. There's that like a longing to hear from somebody that I know or family. So if you text me, most likely I would see your message right away, unless I'm fast asleep, and most likely I'll reply to you. So yeah, we will stay connected. I was confused. What should I share? And I thought this would. I thought the whole Bible, the message that we hear, even what Clint was saying, it's kind of a farewell message for everybody. We go out from here, and then we get about our business, and yeah, we're gone from the church, and we take that message as our last message. So there's nothing new like farewell message, but I thought sharing today from John chapter 15 and some from 16, and we would read chapter 17, and I thought that would be a blessing. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for all the blessings that you have blessed us with. And Jesus, whom you sent to die on our behalf, and Lord, that we could come together this way and serve you. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us here. Father, we ask you that help us that we stay with you, that we remain in you, Lord, that we be faithful to you. Speak to us through your word today. Anoint me with your spirit and your word, and speak your word through me. Bless us together this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So let's read a few verses first and see. So John chapter 15 and verse 1 on. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. So abiding. When Jesus was here on earth, thousands and thousands of people followed him, and he spoke to thousands and thousands of people. He didn't have mic system and sound system. So talking to a larger group and outside in the field and beside the sea, he had to probably talk louder and very, what is the word, emphatically or scream, not exactly scream, but loudly and very, yeah. So at this time, the story begins sometime in chapter 12 when a lot of things happens, and they have the triumphal entry to Jerusalem and the Passover meal, all those things, and Jesus is with the disciples and he's talking to them, probably his last message to the disciples, and maybe there are other people also, and he's saying, maybe loudly and louder than I am, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And let everybody hear me this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So he's saying, my Father and I, we work together. I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And it's my Father who takes away any branch that doesn't bear fruit. But any branch that bears fruit, he prunes them. So pruning is always, I think it's painful. Like, we go through discipline and different things. We have something bad in our life that is hindering us from being fruitful for him. And when God tries to prune those things and cut those things away from our life, sometimes it is painful, and sometimes we have to go through, thank you, strict discipline, and it's very hard. Strict disciplines are very, very hard, but and it is for us, and he does it so that we bear more fruit. And Jesus says to the disciples that you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Now he says, abide in me, and I in you. Now you're already clean. Now you abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you cannot if you don't abide in me. So now everybody know what abide means. It means to remain or to stay with something. And in some places, the Bible talks about grafted, like you take something and then you graft. So we abide in it. I was looking for it, and I found this article, and I liked it. I thought I would share with you. To abide in the Lord means we continually receive, believe, and trust that Jesus is everything we need. As disciples, our faith will always be put to test. That test may look like years of prayer that is always answered with not yet, or being thrown into a world of uncertainty or chaos. Regardless, we must remember that Jesus is the source of true life and peace. When we abide in Jesus, we remain steadfast as we walk in him, depend on him, and are intentional with acts of faith. So when we abide in him, it means we continually receive, believe, and trust that Jesus is everything. if we take a branch and put some plastic or some wrapper and graft in a tree, and it's grafted, but it's not receiving anything, it will die soon. If we abide in Jesus, we trust in him, and that we receive, we trust, and we believe that everything that we need in this life, we have in Jesus. And this reminds me of when God called Abraham. He said, "Now the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 1, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Abraham had to go away by faith. He didn't have any navigation system or Google map to pull out, okay, so your first stop would be here in Egypt and maybe in this place or that place, and then finally you come to this place. And Abraham looks at the Google map, and maybe he has the satellite setting, and then he says, wow, it's a beautiful place. Like when it was snowing, one of my friends did a video call, and I was showing him the snow, and he says, you live in the beautiful place in the whole world. Like, he says, wow, it's beautiful. Well, okay, Abraham didn't have any of those things, but he had to believe God and go out. And he had to believe that God is everything, and I receive everything from God. So abiding in him, in John chapter 6, we read when Jesus was talking about the bread of life, your father ate manna in the wilderness. God provided the manna, and they ate, and they still died. But the bread that that God gives you, that bread came down from heaven. If you eat from that bread and drink, after that teaching of Jesus, many of his disciples left him because they thought it's very, very hard to understand what Jesus meant. And Jesus, turning to the disciples, he said, do you want to go away too? Do you want to leave me alone too? And this is what Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe that you know and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is everything that we need in our life. Let's abide in him, and let's receive everything from him. And the Father, the other verses that says that if we do not abide in him, we are cut down and cast out, and then we dry. In verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So our fruit bearing, it brings glory to the Father. And God the Father prunes every branch that doesn't bear fruit. He cleanses us that we may bring forth more fruit. We do not try to bear fruit of ourselves. We do not bear fruit by strict discipline in our life. It would be more like we train our children and to be nice and right and all. But the fruit, it just comes out as a result of abiding in Christ. We do not try to bear fruit. The next thing in the chapter from verse 9, let's read. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus, he loves us with the same measure of love that the Father loved him or loves him. And he wants us to love one another with the same measure of love. In 1 Peter 4 and 8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. That's what Jesus did. Loving one another is to forgive one another, no matter how much someone has hurt us. And Jesus said in John chapter 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life. This verse tells me that when we love somebody or we love God's people, and that we are willing to lay down our lives for them as we lead them to Christ, and as we raise our children, and as we take responsibility in churches and people that God brings into our life, that we even dare to lay down our lives as we lead them to Christ. In Romans 5 and 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This verse tells me of the love that God has, his love reaching down to the least of the sinners like you and I. Sometimes it's hard not to be judgmental, especially when we see somebody in bad situation, maybe somebody, a homeless person begging. And if we see along the road, we might just think, oh, well, yeah, it has happened to me. Like when I see somebody along the road in cities, the first thing is that, well, he must be into drugs. And secondly, well, there's plenty of opportunities this person can go work and provide for himself. But right at that moment, what does the person need? He needs the love of Christ, that we show him that Jesus loves him, that God loves him. And it says, for a good person, anybody will, like right here in church, if somebody would want to borrow some money from you, probably, well, I know this guy is a nice person, he's responsible. Yes, I can lend you some money. But at the same time, somebody that comes from outside and you don't know the guy, then he looks like somebody that is into drugs and all. Well, I don't think it's a good idea. And we'll pull back. But God demonstrated his love toward us even while we were still sinners. And Jesus said, how did he say? He said, verse 12, as my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And this is how he says, you would abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, and you would abide in my love. So I'd like to encourage everyone today. Let's abide in his love. And Ephesians 5 and 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Self-giving love. We don't expect anything in return. We just love. Thirdly, from verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would have loved its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep your also. The third thing I have here is that we are not of the world. I read a quotation like this. Heaven is our final destination. We are just pilgrims passing through a foreign country. After I got my American passport, I was so excited. We opened the envelope and we were looking at it. And my wife, she made a comment, wow, now you can go to any place in the world, like any country in the world. And I said, wow, it would be nice to go to a country where life is easy and we don't have so much hardship and all this craziness and all. And then I had India in mind too. Like, I'm dreading, but I trust God, He will do His work through us. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, instead of going to India, maybe some nice country where we don't have any difficulties and all. And then she said, well, maybe you should just stay right here. Now, America is not heaven, but it's not like some other countries in the world, like Haiti, India, Africa, or the Middle East countries. And we have freedom here, and yeah, we have freedom to gather here and worship God freely. And with all the conveniences in life and all in America, it's easy to get trapped and be tempted and think that this is where I belong, and we don't look for a different country. It's so good in here. Okay, so good in here. And James 4:4, it says, adulterers and adulteress. How do you say that word? Do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. Since we are not of the world, we would be persecuted, we would be rejected, and that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He said that if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world, and the world would have loved its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep your also. But these all things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And thinking about India and people who serve the demons rather than Christ, it just always amazes me. In India, like every time, I mean, once in a while you would hear a new demon, a new god came, and somebody might start worshiping Buddha or something else, and you find out that your neighbor is worshiping Buddha. And you are a strict Hindu, but oh, well, they're just following Buddhism, and it's all right. But as soon as they hear that you accepted Christ, then there's persecution and rejection. Why? Anything apart from our God is darkness, and devil knows what's going on there. And he says, they hated me without a cause. There might be no cause, and they would hate you because you're following God. So let's abide in Christ and abide in his love and have this in mind that we are not of this world. And in conclusion, I'd like to read the whole chapter, not the whole chapter, but part of the chapter of John 17 for everyone. And it's a high priestly prayer that Jesus did for his disciples and the followers that would follow him afterwards. That is us. John chapter 17, and let's read from verse 6 on. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for this sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. God bless us, everyone, today, and let's remain in him.